deliver an extemporary communion. That's what we're here to talk about today. Welcome. Thanks for joining me. It's Malcolm Cox here with your Tuesday teaching tip. This is episode number 115. And today we're talking about how to deliver an extemporary communion. In other words, one that you haven't prepared in advance. I don't mean on those days when you've forgotten to prepare what you're going to say about the communion, but actually planning to do it like this. Now, you might have heard of what's sometimes called a sermunium, where a sermon concludes with a communion and the same speaker does both parts. The text might work well for that. It often does, and that's excellent. Sometimes it can be a little bit of a bolt-on and doesn't work particularly well. However, the sermunion is an acceptable part of the speaking, preaching categories, if you like. However, what I'm talking about here is a little bit different. I wanted to try something different this particular Sunday just gone. We had to have a shortened service because if you're watching this around the time it's being recorded, there's been a thing on called the World Cup. And it was the World Cup final at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and our service was due to start originally at 3. We managed to move it back to 2:30, but still a bit of a squeeze, and so we had a 1 hour service finishing at 3:30, which meant thinking creatively about the service so that it was still meaningful, but a little bit shorter. So I decided to do this, to do an extemporary communion. What do I mean? Well, Ben May was our preacher on the day, and he spoke on Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, on the parable of the wedding banquet. And I knew that ahead of time, and I thought, let me think about what might work for the communion connected with that. I had a little bit of a think about it. I wasn't sure. And then I listened to him preach, and as he was preaching, thought about some of the themes from his lesson that might apply to the cross and the taking of the communion. And when he reached this part of the parable, a light bulb went off in my mind. He read from Matthew 22, this is verses 11 to 13. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, for where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He talked about the man not having the right wedding clothes. And I thought about that. And what came to mind was that passage in Galatians chapter 3. Let me read from verse 26. "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." There's the connection, not quite an exact parallel, but a connection. The idea of having the right clothing. You've clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And then I spoke. So Ben finished his sermon. I got up, shared this verse, shared this thought that we have been given the right wedding banquet clothing. Christ has given it to us, and through baptism we've put it on. And we are now heirs according to the promise. How lucky we are to have this promise because we have the right clothing. Not that we earned it, but we certainly put it on in baptism, and now we can enjoy the wedding banquet, the first fruits of it here and now, and then ultimately the full fulfillment of it in the next life. And it tied together rather nicely, I thought, in a way that made a nice connection with what Ben had been speaking about. And he talked to me afterwards and said he liked that connection, that segue from his communion, from his sermon into the communion. Then after I'd shared my thoughts, then we prayed and we took the bread and the wine. Now, it certainly made the whole thing a little bit shorter, which was part of the reason I was trying to do this. But the actual point behind the communion was still served. And I liked the idea of connecting a thought from the sermon with a thought about the cross and what we've been given in Christ because of what Jesus has done for us. As I was reflecting on it this morning, it occurred to me that I could have gone even further and talked about the fact that Christ was derobed to go to the cross. They took his clothes from him so that we could be clothed in Christ. There's another connection. There's a freebie for you if you want to use that. So a couple of tips. If you want to try this, doing an extemporary communion, in other words, connecting with a theme from the sermon that you haven't had a chance to prepare, or there isn't a possibility of preparing beforehand, but you want to connect with a theme from the sermon, here are three tips. Firstly, It really helps to know what your speaker's topic or main scripture will be beforehand. Find out what it will be. It was helpful to me to know that Ben was going to be speaking on the parable of the wedding banquet from Matthew chapter 22. So find out ahead of time what that scripture will be or what the topic will be, and you can let some ideas germinate even if you don't settle on something beforehand. Secondly, I would suggest that as you're listening to the sermon, you have a notepad of some kind and you make notes. It's funny how when you make notes, it seems to stimulate more ideas around a topic. So not write every word he says down, but some key thoughts. And that was helpful because as I was making notes, I wrote the clothing, correct clothing, and then that triggered the thought of Galatians chapter 3. So make some notes as you go along. And the third tip I would say is don't force a connection where there isn't one. If no connection exists, don't make it fit just for the sake of it. If there's nothing there that really connects with the cross, then you can always go back to reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11 around verses 23 to 26 and pray. Nothing wrong with that. Those are some ideas. So what do you think about this? Have you tried this kind of thing? Do you think there are any downsides to doing it this way? What might those downsides be? Personally, I think you certainly need to be someone who's pretty knowledgeable about the Bible and can recall some good Bible verses if as needed. But what do you think about it? I'd like to know your thoughts. And maybe you'd like to try it. And if you do, please leave us feedback here as to how it went and what you learned from the experience. Leave a comment wherever you see this recording. Leave it in that box below. Then we can all learn from each other. And we learn best when we learn in community. Do someone a favor by passing the link on to someone who might enjoy it. Hit that subscribe button or the like button. That helps these recordings become more prominent. And I thank you so much for being with me today. We'll be back again next Tuesday for another Tuesday teaching tip. But until then, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.